You're listening to
How Yoshi Did It
Podcast with Yoshi Obayashi.
Don't you ever all be sad. Lean on me when times get bad. When the day come and I know you die in a river of trouble, you got to drown. Hold on, time coming.
Hi, this is an intro to episode 148-0, The House of Swedish Mafia. I interview two of my friend Adil and Aaron Flum, and I will apologize to you ahead of time. Obviously, there's the three of us, and I only had two mics, so the audio is a little weird. But overall, it was a fun interview, and these guys have always been good to me when I was visiting or living in Sweden, so I hope you guys like it. And schedule for next the final two episode is this. Episode 149, Just Say No, will be mid to late November. And the final episode, 150 with Russell Peters, will be in December. Now, if Russell Peters' episode is two parts, then one will be in December and the last one will be in January. And speaking of Russell Peters, I will be doing one or two shows for him in Irvine Improv this coming Friday, Saturday, Sunday, November 4th through 6th. So come over, watch the show, and don't be afraid to walk up to me and say hi. Despite all the crazy things I've said in other podcasts, I'm approachable. So I hope to see you guys. And this episode is sponsored by Midnight Ice Creams. If you're looking for quality skateboarding clothing lines, please give Midnight Ice Cream a chance. And it's a company owned by my younger brother in Seattle, Washington. And a couple more requests, then I'm done. So if you're a listener of Houston, Texas, and if you don't mind me staying with you, please contact me at dumbyoshi@gmail.com or tweet to me, twitter.com/yoshiobayashi. I need to find a place for the Super Bowl 2017, that Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which will be February 3rd, 4th, and 5th. So if you could help me, please contact me, and I appreciate any help. And two more things, and that's it. I'm helping my roommate, Randy Puga, to produce a couple of shows, monthly shows, and I'm in process of getting this thing going, hopefully soon, with another Randy, San Diego Randy. So we're tentatively trying to plan to have two shows, one at Brea Improv, and second one at Madhouse in San Diego, California. So maybe within a month or two, maybe around January or February of next year, check their website every once in a while and see if there's a show called Randy and Randy Show. And I'm trying to use the show to help my roommate, Randy Puga, to get some experience in stand-up comedy business. But I want to do a show. Hopefully, it'll be pro-drugs or pro-marijuana show, because I'm sure some of you probably heard me talk about illegal magazines. I'm trying to help that magazine through using this comedy show. And hopefully I could sell some of their t-shirts and magazines and so on and so forth. And if you don't know what illegal magazine is, to give you a quick explanation, it's basically a magazine written by addicts and former addicts, and started in Copenhagen, Denmark, by a gentleman named Michael Olsen. And basically it's trying to help end the drug wars and trying to treat drug issues as health issues and not moral issues. So basically people will sell this magazine in the street, and I think if you sell the magazine, you keep 40% of proceeds in Denmark and London, and you keep that money to buy drugs, 60% will be returned to the publisher, and this will prevent people from committing crimes and prostituting themselves. So anyway, I'm involved with that, and I think I will be the U.S. representative. Hopefully we have illegal magazine U.S. version in San Francisco area. And I apologize, it's 3:45 a.m., so I'm kind of spaced out. And finally, I will be traveling to Europe either last week of December 2016 or January of 2017 first week, and hopefully I get to do a couple show in London and Sweden, and two more things. I'm going to visit friends, and hopefully one or two meetings with Illegal Magazine. And tweet to me, or if you have idea for places to visit in Europe, I have a couple of days in addition to the shows and visiting Illegal Magazine. So anyway, I'm blabbering, so I apologize. And I'd like to thank Stan Chen and Karen Chen all the years of supporting me, Ernie for doing the audio, and of course, you know, Randy Pug has been very supportive and let me stay with him, and I appreciate him trusting me, and I'm ever grateful. And of course the Peters family, you know, Russell's brother Clayton, Russell Peters, Rosanna, Russell's mother, and their assistant Eddie, thank you very much. You guys have been great help, and what can I say? You treat me like a family member, and I appreciate it. And I want to end this intro by saying it was a great weekend because I saw one of my friends, first time in 2 years, Maury Shobizowicz, and that was it was really, really good to see him. So anyway, sorry for the long intro, but I hope you guys like this episode, and enjoy the last two episodes after this one. Thanks, and go Cleveland Indians. Tomorrow's the last game. Game 7, World Series. I hope they win. All right. Thanks, and talk to you guys soon. Bye. Wait, which one did you do before, Aaron?
I did one extra episode of TS Knas, you know, the podcast I'm doing.
How's that doing? I heard that
it's doing really well. It's a Comedy Central show now. So first we did an extra episode about South Park because their premiere is starting soon. So, and then we did just an ordinary episode of TS Knas.
And well, I'm a little confused because they don't have a problem when you talk about the marijuana stuff. They're cool with that.
Comedy Central are cool with that, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're new in Sweden, so they don't know it's forbidden here.
I see.
I'm guessing. I don't know.
I remember 1 year Bill Burr was here 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I know one of the Scandinavian countries, he did really well. Another one bad because one of them didn't have Comedy Central. I'm assuming that probably was Stockholm.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You know, I'm here with Aaron Flam and Adil. And very short podcast. I know you have to leave soon, right?
No. It's just, you know, we were supposed to do this like
hours ago.
Hours ago, man. And now we're here, so we might as well do it properly.
So how was your trip? I know that you got back from Oslo. You did a TV show there. How was that?
That was fine.
You probably want to put the mic closer.
Okay, that was fine. I went there to sort of investigate anti-Semitism among the Muslim population. What are you signing about?
This was mailing, right?
No, I haven't mailed him. Why can't you? I'm actually being recorded right now. Because
you must pause it. We have.
So that's yeah, I lost my train of thought.
No, but they specifically. Adia's going to keep doing this. You went there for the television show in Oslo. They're specifically looking for anti-Semitism
among their Muslim population. Yeah,
but isn't that kind of understood that it just.
No, not really, because they don't really have that many Jews in Norway anymore. And it's because they helped Gestapo round them up and send them away to the camps, like, you know, when the war was going on and stuff. So being a Jew in Norway since the Second World War has been something you sort of keep under wraps.
Right.
So you don't tell people you're a Jew, or you don't walk around with a kippah.
Well, so what did you do? That you flew there, you walked around in a Muslim neighborhood?
They wanted me to go into a Muslim neighborhood wearing a kippah and, you know, surrounded by hidden cameras. So.
Yeah.
And I didn't really want to do that. I wanted to do, like, interviews, man on the street.
Sure.
Yeah. And I did that the first day, and it was fun. And
so you're interviewing Muslims?
I interviewed Muslims, but also normal Norwegians,
yeah,
or ethnic Norwegians, or whatever you want to call them. And we got some funny reactions, basically on my line of questioning.
Sure.
And then...
Do they hate the Jews, like, idea of Jews? Because quite often my Jewish friends would travel Middle East, they always say things like, I hate the Jews, but when I say Jews, I'm not talking about you specifically.
Yeah, well, most of the people I think that have anti-Semitic prejudice never met a Jew.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like most people that doesn't like black people in America, they probably never interact with one.
Or Muslims.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I've interacted with Muslims like Adil, and I fucking hate them now.
Now.
I didn't used to be prejudiced, and then I met Adil, and now I'm like, they're a dirty, dirty, dirty bunch.
Adil's our friends, and I stay with them. What was the word that you used? What kind of outfit? I don't know what that is.
Oh, the kippah?
Yeah, what is that?
Like the small head thing?
Oh, isn't that yarmulke?
Sure, you can call it yarmulke.
Oh, okay.
Kippah in Hebrew.
So you went there. So the second day, you walked around among them as a tradition.
Yeah, yeah. And I got nothing more than a few stares.
That's it?
Yeah. So it's fine, you know. Not a problem at all. And Adil, before I went there, Adil was like, don't do it. They're going to kill you.
Right.
So right now, I think Adil is more prejudiced against Muslims than I am.
Right.
And definitely more prejudiced against Muslims than Muslims is against Jews. So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
they're probably not going to air it because they didn't get what they wanted. But
yeah, they want something dramatic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like you're getting stabbed or something.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. They wanted to see Muslims stab a Jew, basically. Yeah.
But it's the kind of same kind of shit you see in the States. They see footage from Middle East, people burning shit, burning down with America, this and that. But I've been to Middle East many times. I never seen it. And they show clips from America where drive-by shooting, cops are shooting black people, this and that. I haven't seen it. So they always show terrible things
so
from each other.
So cops haven't shot any black people in the United States.
I didn't see that.
That's what
I
you said.
Seen,
That's I, what I heard you say.
I haven't seen
you
it personally.
You denied the fact, yeah.
I just, you know, I'm sure they're not fond of Jews, but like most of them, they got better things to do. They got families to take care of.
Yeah, most of the time, yeah. That's true. But I think, I mean, they did that in Sweden, a television show here.
Yeah.
They walked through Malmö with a kippa, and he got derided, and, you know, people spat behind his back and stuff like that. But I think the situation in Sweden is also somewhat different than it is in Norway. Norway still has its welfare state completely intact, and no one is squabbling over resources in Norway. But Sweden is it's a strange situation at the moment.
You guys are making the transition, right? It's becoming less socialized in some way?
Well, I think our social security system is not really working as well as it used to.
Mm-hmm.
And partly because we're a multicultural country now and the system...
And plus you don't have free oil like Norway.
We don't, no. But I mean, the Swedish system was always very solidaric if you were an ethnic Swede. And as long as they didn't have anything else, it was fine because... you have to understand the welfare system mostly represent people who already have a job, and everyone had a job. But
they only use it if something happened to them, losing a job, they got sick and things like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there was a strong moral concerning that because they had a strong culture of work from the Lutheran tradition in Sweden.
And the concept that you explained to everyone before, Janta, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now that has disintegrated in the last three decades, and I don't see it coming back. And also, especially young Muslim or immigrant men don't get into the job market. We have an unemployment rate of over 25% for that specific demographic. Now, we have good unemployment numbers when it comes to every other demographic.
Sure.
Yeah. It's just those guys, and they don't get jobs, so they can either stay here and become drug dealers, or they can go down and fight for ISIS.
Whenever they give unemployment number in the States, it's usually higher because they don't take account people who try to look for the job and they give up. They don't put those people in account, you know, in the numbers. So it's usually higher. Whatever the number they usually give you, it's higher than that, you know.
Okay.
Or they don't take account like when people have job, part-time job, so on and so
but
forth.
Let's but let's talk about you. Have you gotten married?
No.
No, no. So you're still gay then.
You've been talking to Adil.
No, your mom.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
wow.
I've been talking to Adil, but to
that's
listen,
right. You went to Japan, so
I did go to Japan, and I loved it there.
Yeah, you went with the dead girl from Dragon with the Dragon Tattoo.
I did.
Yes.
Yeah.
You get the reference if you listen to the previous episode are how do you say Malmö?
Malmö, yeah.
Yeah. Why the more ethnic tension there compared to Stockholm?
Well, I think they have a
higher percentage of ethnic groups there.
Yes.
And say that integration came way earlier in Stockholm in the 70s and 80s.
So they're used to that.
Most immigrants that came to Stockholm early, and we had a much more working social system back then. And most people that came from those countries that came, especially the Muslim countries, were people that fled from Islam. Like, we came here because we were Muslims.
Sure.
So we didn't have maybe that big of an integration problem
right.
for that reason, because we didn't look that strange. We didn't
and,
have
and in Stockholm, you're talking about by now, second or third or fourth generation,
yeah,
right?
But the thing is, like, for me, when I came here, when we came here, we were 3 months old, whatever, it was not that uncommon, you know.
Yeah.
But in Malmö, I think a lot of immigrants came during the early 90s from the former Yugoslavia war, and then the wars have followed after that. So it's a bit newer, smaller places who brought in quite a big amount of immigration. And in Stockholm, a lot of them came to the suburbs because, you know, if you look area-wise, Stockholm is quite big, but you come to suburbs. So I think that's a big issue as well.
Okay. And by the way, if the audio sounds weird, because we only have two mics, we had to pass back and forth.
I'm not going to say more.
No. We want to hear you because you know that stuff very well, minus the being obnoxious part. All right.
Yeah.
What is it going down there? Was there another one of you, a comedian friend, went down there?
No. That was a serious news show, but they did it because the Jewish. The Jewish congregation of Malmö has. They've fled Malmö. They're leaving Malmö. They can't live there anymore.
What, is it that bad?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, some places in Scandinavia now are. Effectively, especially in Sweden, we have places that are labeled no-go zones.
For Jews?
For anyone who doesn't belong to those areas.
I see.
Mean, what you'd call riots, you know, when they burn cars and if police or ambulance or fire trucks come, they throw stones at them. So.
Yeah.
The official society can't really get into these areas now.
I think right after I left, maybe 5 or 6 days, maybe a week later, some neighborhood in Stockholm, there was like a riot. They flipped over a car, burned like a police car or something.
Yep.
I don't remember what.
No, but Swedish society has in effect lost control over certain areas.
But your definition of losing control is completely different from ours.
Yes.
I mean, when we lose control.
It's extremely different.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you a story because the guy, the Norwegian journalist who wanted me to come to Norway now, he was the correspondent for a Norwegian television channel in the US during like the 80s. And he lived in a big block in Washington, D.C., where all the foreign correspondents from different networks lived. Mm-hmm. And this was back in the Cold War.
Yeah. So he has a pretty good point of reference.
Yeah, and he said he shared a floor with correspondents from the Soviet Union.
Okay.
And they were under orders.
To leave.
No, they were under orders to go out and find the worst places in America at least once a week and send back pictures.
Okay. To use it as a propaganda, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly. To go to like the worst ghetto in Washington, like Northeast, and just, you know, show the type of squalor that happens when you have a capitalist society. And they filmed that, but they sent the pictures back.
But did it backfire, right?
It backfired because
they live still better than many of the Soviet Union.
Than everybody in the Soviet Union. They had color TVs, they had hot and cold water, they had amenities in the kitchen.
Yeah, bullet holes.
Whatever. Everything was better than, you know, middle class Russia, so it didn't really work. So everything is relative, but we have now areas in Sweden that aren't up to what we would normally call Swedish standards.
So what does most Swedes say publicly versus what they really feel inside? Like, there must be some... The Swedish Democrat, that's the fascist group, I guess.
Yes.
There must be gaining some popularity.
They are. They've grown immensely. I mean, for a while during the worst part of the immigration crisis last fall, they were up over 21%.
Right.
Now they're back down to like 15-16%.
Sure.
But also our like the parties on the right, like the Conservative Party and the Liberal Party, they're starting to put out feelers. What if to the voters? What if we start working with the Swedish Democrats? What if we form a government? Because at the moment in Sweden, no one can form a majority government, and our system is built on someone having a majority government, so you can actually affect things. So what we have now is a social democratic.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
That happened in Italian government because they have a fear from the past, like Mussolini having too much power.
Yeah.
So what they're trying to do is they make sure no particular party become too powerful. But problem now is other extreme, which is it's so fragmented that no one have any power to actually pass certain policies down, right?
Yeah.
So is this a kind of similar thing that you guys are facing over here?
Not really. No. We just... I think
too many parties, and don't you have to make a correlation sometimes to make things happen? Is that
no? But the alliance, as it was called, was the four right-wing parties. They ruled Sweden for the last 8 years, mm-hmm. and now it's a social democratic minority government together with the Environmental Party.
Okay.
And before that, we had social democratic rule for like 80 years.
Right.
And it was easy because back then, 80% of the population voted for the Social Democrats, but
right.
now it's like down to around 25%.
Yeah.
So now whoever gets to rule needs the support of either the Communist Party or the Swedish Democrats, which is the Fascist Party.
This is a dumb question, I'm sure, for you guys, but I'm American, but did they... they accept refugees just out of the kindness of a heart and like a moral obligations?
Yeah, partly. Swedes want to view themselves as good.
Right.
And we had open borders for 60 years.
Not
inviting
anymore.
No, inviting the entire world.
Yeah.
Knowing full well, not most Swedes, but our government must have known that no one is going to come here because the borders to Sweden aren't at the border of Sweden. They're in Greece, they're in Italy, they're in Libya, Morocco, Turkey, because we pay those guys to keep people out at
right.
the same time as we were inviting them in. So
right.
it was basically hypocrisy. You know what hypocrisy is, right?
Yes.
You know where it comes from?
The Greek word for actors, people who act like something that they're not.
Precisely. Well, actually, it's a specific term. It's a sin in Greek,
mm-hmm.
polytheistic culture, the sin of portraying yourself as better or more noble than you actually are. And
right.
that's the Swedish national sin. Because being noble or good is not something you are, it's something you do. For Swedes, it's very important to be a good person. But
wait. To be a good person or appear to be good in public?
Precisely. Because what defines you as a good person is when the shit hits the fan, you stand by your principles.
Yeah.
So we invited the entire world into our country
right.
and they couldn't get here. But when Greece and Libya and Morocco and everyone just said, we're not going to pay for this anymore. Let them just go to Sweden.
Yeah.
And they started coming. Then we closed the borders. So when we closed the borders, we did a bad thing.
Right.
Yeah. And that defines us, I think, as a nation.
Now, some people have agreed that, of course, Swedes have taken more people per capita than anywhere else. But in absolute terms, Germany have taken more people.
Yeah.
But I think some Germans are thinking long-term, liberal Germans, thinking their population is dropping, so they want to have more. Unlike the Japanese, who refuse to have foreigners come into their country, which you're probably familiar with going there.
Yeah, but they're going to have to if they want to keep their standard of living.
Well, they don't want to make that decision at all. But
they'll try to develop robots that can replace Japs, and that's not a big step.
Yeah,
because as you know, Japs are practically robots.
But they are. But you're very comfortable with that word. Now,
which one? Robots?
Japs.
Japs. I was going to say what the police. But that's not okay to say nip,
no,
right?
Jap is not okay either.
Yeah, but I think the politically correct term.
You can't say the N word because it's black shit.
What am I supposed to say? Gook?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Gook is good because
slanty eyes.
Gooks are mostly Koreans and Vietnamese. I haven't heard too many people refer Japanese with it. Japanese are only Japs or nips.
Okay, I'll call you archipelago Chinese then.
That's really funny. You made me forget what but the Germans, they recognize that more people they have, they're thinking like in long term it's good for economy. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, it does help to have group of people that think differently, i.e. entrepreneurship, for example. Like Steve Jobs is Syrian. Most Americans probably didn't know, but his racial background is he's a Syrian, you know. But,
I did not know that.
Yeah,
I now resent him. Anyway, but
I think Germans thinking in a long term.
Yeah, they do.
Short term, it's not good because Merkel is taking a lot of heat for it right now, Prime Minister of Germany.
Yeah, but they have different labor laws. In the immigrants we've taken into Sweden, they have no school. So, and they don't speak the language, and they come from a very different culture. So it's going to be very hard to get them into the labor market. It's already hard for immigrants here to get into, I mean, like second, third generation are not getting into the labor market. I don't see how Sweden can solve this unless we radically change our system.
Right. Or, I guess I'm very naive, because when the immigrants show up in the States, even if they don't learn to speak English, they usually start their own business. Because
yeah, but you can't do that here.
I noticed that. I guess it's way more difficult to start a business here, right?
Just get a job is hard here, because the level, the minimum wage here is very high.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Somebody like Milton Friedman would say the part of the problem with high unemployment is when you have a very high minimum wage laws, or if you want to get rid of unemployment, you get a minimum wage. But that's just not going to happen in this country. You guys have a very strong sense of, I don't know, social justice, whatever. But
people don't want there to be too much disparity between the highest income and the lowest income.
Right.
They want a very equal society.
But that's just unrealistic, isn't it? Because some people are going to be ugly.
It's been very realistic here for decades, but it was a historical exception.
Right.
Yeah. And those times are not here anymore. It's a new world, and we need to move with the times or perish. And I think we will perish because Swedes have never been known to move with the times.
For example, during the oil crisis in the 70s, part of the reason is they would not allow the gas station to charge whatever they want on the gas. So if you keep it X amount, what you're going to create is long line of people. But if you let the market, if you let the gas station charge $15 an hour, believe it, the line's going to be short because some people just will not pay that much.
Yeah.
So if you have a problem with the high unemployment, you get rid of minimum wage law, because for a lot of the immigrants, not having job experience, that's the biggest problem. But
We don't really have minimum wage laws, but what I'm trying to explain it in terms you can understand. What we have are unions, and very, very, very strong unions. And the unions are part of the labor market. We usually say that politicians don't set wages here.
Yeah.
It's for the parties on the market to do. So that's the corporations, and they have representation, their own unions, in effect. And then the representation of the workers, which are the unions. But no one is representing the people who are outside the labor market.
Right.
Because that's not part of the Swedish system. We're not supposed to have people outside the labor market.
And you know what happened when you have a group of young people? It doesn't have to be any specific ethnic group, but if you have a bunch of young people without a job,
young
they have
men.
Too much free time, and it's usually not a good thing.
No, young men are horrible. As you know, because you've been one.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, as closest to a man as you can get, according to Adil.
Once again, you've been talking with Adil.
Yeah. Adil is seriously...
No, but
he has some serious...
Why? I don't even know why...
I'm not homophobic. I'm probably the only one here who's not homophobic or racially inclined to talk to people and religion, because you guys believe that. I'm a comedian. You guys are Nazis.
I'm not a Nazi.
I take offense to that. I'm definitely not a Nazi, and you are an anti-Semite. You've always been an anti-Semite.
I'm anti-religion, mate.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. That's a good answer.
It is, but it's just one religion.
I guess in the States, ironically, because they care about people they don't really care as much as you guys. So if you're recently an immigrant, you have no choice but to work or find something, because they're just not going to give a fuck.
Precisely. And that creates entrepreneurial spirit and whatever.
Right. And a certain ethnic group will move to certain parts of the country.
Yeah.
Like most of the donut shops are owned by Cambodians in California. I have no idea how that started, but they will go wherever their people are. They help each other. If you don't have that mechanism over here or in Germany, you're definitely going to have a problem with the refugees.
No, we're going to have a problem.
You are having problems.
Yes, and I don't think Swedes could abide to what we would call ethnic enclaves.
Yeah.
Because Swedes don't want it to be like Swedes live in one area and Afro-Swedes in another area and Japanese Swedes in a third area. So, because that offends the Swedish sensibility of equality.
But you're in this really tough spot now, because unless you change,
what I'm seeing when I'm looking around our part of the world is social democracy is on its way out in almost every European country.
Yeah,
they're shrinking. They're losing their power, and it's fine. They won in the 70s, basically, in Sweden. So it's been a downward spiral since then. But what I see is Europeans are returning to what I would call nativism. That tribalism is coming back into the mindset of people. So when they vote for right-wing national parties, nationalist parties, or communist parties. Both are part of groupthink, you understand? They don't. It's not about individualism. It's about class struggle or ethnic struggle. Right. So... what I see is a continent that's slowly, and not so slowly, but it's surely going to hell. And now England has left the Union.
Yeah.
Idiots.
I kind of would like to say ethnically they do a better job assimilating, but you do hear some crazy extremist group in England as well.
Yeah, know? Sure. No, they have them too.
Reason why Brexit is up here is nothing to Brexit has nothing to do with their healthcare issues or blah. The main why they got so much population from it is just so many people behind it. It's just that SD in Sweden, same thing. They only attack the immigration question. When you go to England now, the only difference is for like Indian Pakistani people look like me that they hate even Polish people even more. So all of a sudden now you can these Poles are coming and the Poles are coming. They have fucked up their own country for their own reason. They're idiots. England has completely, they're fucking morons. 51% of that population has gone mad.
But you know what I agree completely with Adil, because one thing about the social democratic welfare states across Europe, you had it, you know, Italy, Germany, France, Sweden, Holland.
Yeah.
These systems, they aren't holding up in a globalized world, regardless of immigration. Regardless if immigrants come here or not, our working class is being subjected to competition from working class people in other nations that can price themselves lower than our working class. Our working class in Sweden have a very high median wage.
Yeah.
They have 6 weeks of vacation. They have free dental, free healthcare. Retirement system is in place, and it's good. I mean, it's nice that people can make a living out of their work, and you know, they're selling their bodies for 40 years to a company, then they should be rewarded for it. But unfortunately, they can't compete with poor people from Singapore and poorer nations. So, these systems, they wouldn't hold anyway.
I mean, only exception is places like Norway. As long as they have oil, they could sustain the utopian place that the semi-utopian place that they have right now. But it sounds very tragic to me, because advantage have immigrants, because they have no choice quite often to do entrepreneurship. But if you live in a society that it's not conducive and like easy to start a new business, what the fuck are you having those people there then? I mean, you know.
No, the Social Democrats, they had no problem taking in fairly large immigrant groups for years and just paying them stipends and going like, if you vote for us, you can still get the subsidies and we will support you, but you won't get work because you're not getting into the labor market. But regardless of that, by now, people that are children to those immigrants, they don't want to get stipends. They want jobs. They right. want to be part of society.
Right.
And they can't get in because of lots of reasons. Racism, the fact that, you know, maybe they don't read and write so well, which is not their fault. It's the Swedish school system's fault.
Oh, it could be a common business practice that most people know. Maybe they don't know. Maybe it might they, be
precisely.
It might be simple as return your phone call, thanking them after job interview, wearing a tie. Yeah. I mean, it might sound too obvious to somebody with a job, but
codes, and they're
cultural
everywhere.
Cultural codes, yes, yeah. and it's necessary, and some people don't know, you know. So, that's why, you know, even with the accusation I get from friends overseas with racism or whatever in the States, it's pretty vibrant, you know. Like, you can make adjustment. It's ironically, it's your life. You could conduct, if you don't want to learn to speak English, that's fine. But only person you'll be hurt by is you. So, yeah. You know. They just kind of throw people in the water and you just, you know, fend for yourself. But no, it kind of works for the Americans.
I tell people here now when I go on stage that, like, because most young people in Sweden, they're pro Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I try to explain to them that if you live in the United States, then Bernie Sanders is a radical choice. And Americans might need a bigger social security net or a more welfare state in yeah. their system. Maybe they do. But here, it's not a radical thing at all. And what we need are, like, you know, a looser system, because what you have here is a system that's handicapped the populace. Basically, people here, if they don't get a job, they're not going to go into business for themselves. They're just going to let the government take care of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they think they're entitled to be taken care of. And they're fucking not. And because that's my tax money.
But we all both know the concept called opportunity cost. So if you decide to do one thing, the cost, it's costing the opportunity to do something else.
Yeah.
So if you have a society that kind of handicap people.
Yeah, then reward people for not doing anything.
Yeah, yeah. That's never going to be good for anyone. You know? So what... Are you all door and pessimism, or do you?
No, for me it's lovely. You know, I've been bored in this country as a political satirist because there's been nothing yeah. to talk about, and now, like, every piece of shit is hitting the fan at the same time.
Yeah,
it's as a citizen of this country and as a taxpayer, I'm sad and nostalgic for what we've lost. But as a political satirist, I'm fucking happy, and I have more work than ever. You know, I can just go around and just point my finger at stuff. It's just like, ha ha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad it's working out for you.
I did buy a crossbow, though.
What?
I did buy a crossbow.
What have you been doing, watching Game of Thrones?
We have very strict gun laws here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, how can I get a weapon that has a decent... You know,
firepower.
Yeah, for a little amount of money that is apocalypse safe. So I can, you know, after the apocalypse.
Wait, you could just buy one at the store?
No. I had to order it from the United States online, and afterwards I've ordered it is when I realize, oh, a crossbow is an illegal weapon in Sweden too. You need to have a license for a crossbow. I was like, I'm gonna get fucking caught in customs.
Yeah.
But it went through. I got my crossbow the other day. Like, I'm set for the zombie apocalypse now.
All right. Are you being serious right now about the crossbow?
What?
Are you being serious about crossbow?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
What do you mean? Why wouldn't I be serious? It's a serious weapon.
All right. So you got back to Norway. Have you done any other trips like that in the last 7-8 months I haven't seen, with TV shows and things like that? Or
Not really. I went on a tour of Sweden with Ahmed. You met Ahmed, yeah.
Who opened the Ari Shafir. Great job.
Yeah.
I think. Well, the audience loved him, but he was speaking Swedish, so I have no idea what
I know.
He was saying. But Adil was laughing and everybody was having a good time. So, yeah, he was fantastic.
Yeah, no, I think, like, the last year, for me, watching Ahmed... is a lot of fun because he has always been good, but now, like, every time he goes off stage, he just had the greatest set of his life. Yeah. So, no, I'm like, and I went on tour with him. I've been completely stressed out because of work. I work too much. There's too many podcasts, too many shows, too much
and
shit.
And you do a lot of writing jobs. You perform on the road. You get in front of the camera. Yeah.
Yes, I do. And I might get some sort of TV gig here in Sweden now for the fall.
Now, do you, it could have been a deal, or somebody's made an interesting point. Now that slowly, even in the States, they're relaxing on the drug policy.
Yeah.
Do you think Swedes will eventually relax on that?
Yeah. Eventually. It'll take 10, 15 more years than everywhere else. But yeah. But come on, it's shit. You can notice there's been a shift. You can read articles in the papers now about, you know, Colorado or shit.
It's been a shift, but if we continue the same political climate with the parties we have, it's going to get worse.
That is true.
It's going to get way worse. If the SD, for instance, get more power, and the right-wing...
the SD don't like marijuana. They think it's a black person drug.
It's going to be a complete disaster on that front.
I mean, I don't understand... Why this irrational attitude about marijuana?
Because they're racist. Swedes are racist, motherfuckers. They're fine with alcohol, but any other drug is...
Any rational person would tell you, chance of you getting beaten and killed is most likely from alcohol than marijuana.
How did your work with that magazine go? The Flaky Danes.
Illegal magazine?
Yeah.
So I've been talking to them a little bit, but they've been very busy with London and Copenhagen. So all the resources are going there. So I'm in a little bit of a bump right now, but I'm hoping that maybe later this year, once everything gets stabilized and caught up in those two places, they will finally send one of their representatives, at least release one episode, one issue of Illegal Magazine, see a reaction in San Francisco. Because, and both of you know, if you're going to do something like that, you have a better chance of having success in California, especially in some place like San Francisco / Berkeley area, where people tend to be more liberal and open-minded about it. But even for me, I noticed that there's been quite a bit of change in attitude, because, you know, we said this the last time we talked, when minorities, black, Latino, Asian kid die from drugs, very little reaction. But when you start seeing middle class white family losing their kids, you know goddamn well they're going to start having reaction, you know. So there's been more. I mean, the heroin and the opiate, it's epidemic. It really is. I mean, where is that? Martha's Vineyard, and there's another one nearby. But those are like a super upper class area. And
that's, what's it called? Oxytocin? Oxycotin?
Yeah, opiates, heroin. And there's a new one I keep forgetting, but it's more powerful than the regular opiates too. So the reason why people use heroin is because once they lose money or a prescription, only alternative is to get heroin. And somebody like Milton Friedman will tell you the reason why people die because we illegalize drugs. If you legalize it, it'll be regulated. So when you buy heroin, you know how much dose of heroin you're getting. But these days, when you buy in the street, you really are taking a chance.
Yeah.
You don't know what's in it.
No.
You don't know. So European tend to be smarter, minus the Sweden. But Switzerland, if you're a heroin addict, they give you free dose.
Well. Yeah,
they
and
give
Denmark.
You free.
Norway, Denmark. And the weird thing about Sweden is this, that we already have half the job done because we have that approach to alcohol. Alcohol in Sweden is completely monopolized by the state. That means that you can only buy alcohol either in specific shop that we call Systembolaget. They only sell alcohol there. It's not open Sundays. It's all closed early Saturday, open to 6 o'clock weekdays. You can't buy alcohol except for that if you don't go into a pub or a restaurant where you have to have specific liquor license, which is difficult to get. So we have already implemented in Sweden that we don't want everybody to be an alcoholic. You want to be controlled. We don't want alcohol to come from outside. outside. We want the taxpayers to get that money back.
But that's a socialist idea. Yeah, that's wrong.
But I don't mind if you say that drugs are bad, but we can't tell people what to do, but we can at least have some kind of control on it. Drugs, for instance, should be in Sweden. I'm telling every drug there is should be able, and you buy all of it from the fucking state. You have an internet account. You fucking order 5 grams of coke. That's your limit for each month, or 10, 15 grams of marijuana. You buy it. You get home. You have to do it at home, but you can do as much as you want to of your limit. If you want extra, you write in for some reason. Listen, I'm going to have a fucking big party. I want to have 20 grams of coke. We're not going to leave the apartment. All that money goes back to the society because you pay tax on it. It's going to get cheaper. You have no fucking criminality coming. Nobody's getting afraid to buy stuff. Nobody's fucking dying of overdose and shit like that. Why can't we implement that when we already have the implement on alcohol? Because they're fucking idiots and they're half racist because they think that everybody who uses these drugs are fucking immigrants. That's the problem with them. And it's not only
the problem. The problem is because drugs aren't bad. Aren't bad. Drugs are great. People are bad at using them. But freedom. But I think you should be able to buy alcohol wherever. And the government shouldn't say anything about it.
I think that wishful thinking, that's not even a compromise. I'm just saying that you can't just change 9 million people for 100 year of culture and saying, you know, you're bad. You have to gradually have some kind of... This is the only compromise I can come up with. There is no other compromise. The money stays within the fucking country. There's no illegal persons gaining on it. And you know exactly how much drugs there are in society and how much people are taking and for what reason. So what the fuck is the problem with that?
Just don't make it illegal.
Yes, don't make it illegal.
Casino in Sweden. We got the same thing with casinos.
I agree with you. The drug war started with President Nixon is a disaster because he has so many enemies. How does he go against minorities and hippies and white people that don't vote for him? There's one commonality with all of them, which was drugs. That's why he implemented this crazy drug war against his enemies. And many people that used to work for him, that's one thing. That one of the major things that they regret, this drug policy, because they, I mean, you're talking about generations of people in inner cities are wasted, or liberal white people, whatnot, you know. So, yeah. I am cautiously optimistic because the fact that middle class white people are talking and all these people are losing their kids to these prescription drugs, they're talking. It just. Americans will do the right things eventually. They will do all the other dumb options first. Then eventually they do the right thing. But it's going to take time. But I think the fact that they're talking about it, I am a little surprised. I've lived there for over 35 years, and I couldn't imagine 10 years ago with some of the conversation, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So I hope they will change.
And I think Adil is right. I think Sweden's system, if they just implemented the Systembolaget, alcohol monopoly on drugs, they would probably have a pretty well-functioning society still.
Sure.
But as it goes now, I don't really see how it's going to work.
No, but that is the only way. There is no other option for Sweden. There is no other option for Sweden. I don't buy it. The other option is they continue doing their war on crime a la Nixon style, and it's not working. And we have the most deaths of overdose in Sweden, Europe, per capita.
No, the second most.
Estonia now. So how can we be the most... We're hardest on drugs, but we have the fucking most deaths of it. That means that we're doing something radically wrong that Norway and Denmark implemented. But we are fucking cunts over here because our politicians are fucking idiots. This is completely stupid. When you meet anybody from outside of Stockholm, the way they talk about like marijuana or hash, it's like it's worse than heroin and alcohol is the only cure for your body to feel safe. This is literally what they fucking say. Why would I use that? That's dangerous. I drink liquor every night. You're a fucking idiot. That's why you drink liquor every night.
Don't put down alcohol. I mean, it's not the greatest drug, but it has its place.
It's good. But
I like drinking.
I like drinking as well. Assholes.
But I've been to Switzerland, I've been to Portugal, I've been to Spain, and I've been to Denmark, and their attitude is they really think this is a health issue. It's not a question of somebody's morality or these are bad people.
I know.
It's a health issue. And if they treat it and they change their minds...
But here, our politicians, they want drug addicts to die in the streets because they act as a deterrent for people who haven't started doing drugs yet.
And plus, drug addicts usually don't vote for them.
That is also true.
Or I'm just being
at all.
Yeah,
they don't
all.
Vote.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I think you should get heroin for voting.
And you know, like this is the second time in Europe, and like I have to explain people, like whenever they found out I'm American, they complain Trump stuff to me. But like, Jesus.
What do you mean? Trump wants to make America great again. I don't see what's wrong with that.
Sorry, but America's already great.
Yeah, I know. That's what confuses me about his slogan. Because I think America is so great, it shouldn't need vowels.
Yeah.
You know? It just should be America. Merk. Merk.
But like,
that's how great I think it is. And I think his slogan should be make America greatest like it has always been.
Because last night when I was hanging out with my friend Hussein at 7-Eleven, and whenever the customer found I'm American, they were complaining about Trump. Like, Jesus, don't complain to me. Like, well, it's not like I'm a... I have a...
And why are they complaining about Trump?
Is an American saying that when you're the quickest of jumping on... every newscast in fucking America is portraying everybody who's even have a contact with Muslim people as a fucking joke. I have to sit 1 hour every time I go to fucking America, and you're telling me... that people here are we're complaining about Trump because Trump is your second choice and your first choice, he's a fucking lunatic, tyrannic idiot. So of course we're going to fucking go for that. You've given us two examples.
I'm not giving him the mic for this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because what I think is that America is already great. But if Trump wants to make it greater again, then why won't you let him? Why is everyone putting down Trump? All he does is, maybe he's said some bad things about Mexicans and women and Muslims. But you know, who hasn't?
First of all, I don't think I just have a hard time believing. I don't think he believes in things he's saying. He knows how he could get reaction from people. And... what's his name? Something Silver. Last two elections, he was like 99% accurate predicting the election. But this election, he was completely wrong about Trump. So was I. I really thought a year ago he would drop by March or April of this year. So but I just think on paper.
No, he's a fucktard, and he's a populist fucktard, and a racist, homophobic, misogynistic populist fucktard. But we have shit like that in Europe too, and Europeans don't even know who's in their own parliaments. I mean, Greek people going against the United, they have a Nazi party in parliament. They're being ruled by a communist party who doesn't know the first thing about economics.
Yeah.
Swedes have, what we have in our government now is beyond retarded.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't really see why they should fucking come down hard on America just because you want a homophobic, Muslim-hating, gay-hating, you know, it's...
We have that in most countries in Europe now.
Yeah, precisely, yeah.
I think
Europeans are blind to the, you know, their own systems.
And I think the part of the frustration is because when you have your prime minister from different European countries, it really is not going to affect the world as much as, obviously, when you have a U.S. president. And I think the frustration the Europeans feel like they don't have any say because whoever we pick will have some, one way or another, have affect the rest of the world.
No, but I'm looking forward to Hillary Clinton because I think she... I mean,
on paper,
because you've never had that before as a president, you know, like a space lizard.
Yeah.
So... A closeted lesbian space lizard. And I think that's nice that, you know, you come from a country where anyone, even a closeted lesbian space lizard, can become president.
On paper, she should win.
Yeah.
On the paper, because it's hard to see how he'll win. But people who usually support someone like Hillary tend to be liberal and young people and minorities. You know their history. They have tendency not to vote.
Yep.
And somebody told me, somebody told me today that she fainted last night. So something weird could happen. Mm-hmm. So, but I think if I have to make a guess, she should win. Because, you know, the thing with the Britain, I think even people who supported with that shit, at the end of it, I think a lot of them are shocked, like, holy fuck, I didn't think this thing's going to win. But they voted for anyway, thinking it's not going to pass through, you know. And
Was they were wrong.
I think what was it, Winston Churchill, like, democracy is not a perfect system, but in a critical time, they do a very good job selecting the right leaders.
It's the least bad system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but here in Sweden, I mean, fuck Swedes, man. Swedes think social democracy built this country. Social democracy did not build this country. You know who built this country? A few white men who enslaved other people and did horrible, horrible things to amass fortunes. Horrible things that most people...
You're talking about these industrialists, right?
Yes. Yeah. Horrible things that most people wouldn't do. You know, I wouldn't do those things, you wouldn't do those things, Adil wouldn't do those things. Socialists believe they built this country, but all they did was take their fucking pitchforks and torches and march to these poor white guys who've worked really hard and done terrible things to amass fortunes and say, if you don't give us a piece of the pie, we're going to kill you.
Yeah.
Basically, extortion. And that's what the socialist system is. It's extortion of rich people.
That sounds like
it was amazingly good until the last sentence. Yeah. That was like, oh, he does fine. It's like you're giving a baby some candy and then you shit on him. It's like, that's what happened.
No, but I'm like, listen,
I think she's gonna win, and basically what the world want to hear her say is, Donald, you're fired. That's what they want. That's what they want to hear.
Yeah. But she's not
personally
fired.
I just don't like...
Because, I mean, you can't fire someone who didn't get the job.
Well, that's true. What I want people who are not American to understand that... Because if some people are supporting Trump, I don't necessarily think because they're racist. I think a lot of them are frustrated and they're poor. Because if you select Hillary Clinton, they know it's going to be same shit is going to continue on. And if you're poor, if it continues the same, they're going to be in shithole. So,
and they'd rather destroy the entire country so everyone gets poor.
Well, that's what they're doing, but they're frustrated with the way things are going, so they want to pick somebody different, even though when you ask them, second question, which is, do you honestly think he's going to make things better for you? No, but they're just fed up with the system, I think. I think that's a lot of the frustration. And plus, more people know Donald Trump because of all the reality TV show. I'm just being honest with you. More people know who he is through the TV show. All the conservative Republicans who ran against them, they learned a new lesson that this is a new era.
Yeah.
You know, like traditionally, this is a lot of supermodels. So traditionally, supermodels make it big in the States from New York City, you know, those runway and things like that. But recently, all the big ones from California, the Kendall Jenner, Kardashian, Gigi Hadid, that Palestinian girl. You know, all these are girls with high social media followers. So the traditional girls who make cover on Vogue, the power has shifted from New York City to California. You know,
understandable.
So
because who used to pick the old supermodels? The one with no breasts and no ass that looked like 12-year-old boys.
Four-model agency. And Adam went towards New York City. But... Yeah. You know, whenever there's a new changes, people are in the old position, the old power are frustrated because they're losing power. But new innovators, you know, like these girls are from California, Instagram, 30, 40 million followers. Well, they're going to get a cover of Vogue, you know. So we're in a, for sure, transition era now.
Yes.
You know?
Interregnum is the Latin term. Between systems, it's when the old system stopped working, but we still haven't gotten a new system.
And some economists call it...
So where do you think the fault line lies? I'm serious now. Where do you think the fault line lies? Where is the new fault line in
politics?
Where
the power is at?
No, like traditionally in Europe, the fault line has been between left or right.
Right.
Right? And the same in the US, sort of. It's conservative or liberal, right?
Yeah.
But now you have a new fault line.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I believe there must be a new fault line. And where do you think that fault line is?
In Europe?
Well, across the world, because I have a pretty clear idea where I think...
Let me hear it.
I think it is between traditionalists or nativists, tribalism, and modernity.
Yes.
Globalization versus fragmentation.
Right.
Yeah. So either we have this, either you're going through a progress. You're a progressive. I'm a progressive.
Yes.
Because I want us to legalize drugs, right, and colonize space and all that shit. Because I'm like really looking forward to colonizing space.
And I think to some extent you're a realist, because the world is changing with a bigger world.
No, but this is the same. What I see this battle taking place everywhere.
Yeah.
I see it in the States.
Yes.
I see it in Europe. Because nationalists and communists, regardless of if they're on the left or right, yeah, of the political spectrum, they are trying to preserve something old.
Okay.
And in Europe, I don't think we see the progressive alternatives as much.
Right.
And in the Muslim world, you see the same. It's between progressives who want to secularize liberal democracy.
Right.
But they are very few. Very, very few. Basically just students from urban areas. And you have these big groups of Muslim traditionalists of different creeds and colors and sects who want to maintain or even go backwards to the 1200s. And you see the same here, because the Swedish Democrats, they're not saying let's colonize space and get, yeah, rid of state surveillance and legalize pot. They're saying let's go back to the 70s and 60s when America was great. Or at least they think Sweden was great then. It wasn't. It was just greater than it was in the 1800s.
I personally don't know a fault line, but I will say that anybody who follows U.S. politics know that no president has won without winning state of Ohio.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. As you know, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Western New York City, Indiana, those are Rust Belt. For those you don't know, it's basically there in Michigan, where there used to be former manufacturing base. And these people think to be resistant to international trade and importing stuff. They want high tariff to prevent cheap products going, because they want to make the products from the, you know,
they
40,
want
50,
work, right, and they want their pays, their paychecks to be higher. And right, if they have to compete with people from China, that won't be a possibility.
And I think if Trump ended up winning, one scenario that they were talking about is if he somehow get most of those Rust Belt states saying, I would put so much fucking tax on the China products, you know, basically anti-NAFTA stand, basically. And I guess, I don't want to say if they're anti-foreigners, it's maybe because economic issues, because I'm one of those minorities. I feel like white people have feelings too. You know, if you're a liberal person running for office, you can't neglect the whites. They have a genuine grievance too, because I've been to those Appalachian mountain
areas.
They're
losing privileges.
Yes.
That's what's happening.
Yeah.
Privileges they didn't sign up for losing.
Yes.
And most of them weren't necessarily thinking they were taking something, yeah, away from someone else. But if you compare that to Sweden,
yeah,
what you have here is you have a working class movement, the, yeah, unions. Then they have always gone around telling their workers that we are good people,
yeah,
because we're solidaric. We're for solidarity. And what they meant was we're solidaric to people within Sweden.
Right.
We're not solidaric to people, working class people in Poland or Ukraine or, yeah, China or Malaysia or wherever. But what you need to do, if you were a Swedish union and you really wanted to stand up for those ideals, you'd need to get some international union going that can work for workers' rights on an international level, on a global scale, so to
I
speak.
Just think that's a difficult proposition.
That's an almost impossible proposition. And also, globalization on the capitalist side, from the perspective of the companies and the corporations, have gone too far. They have a head start that is, right, enormous.
Because the workers' union in Sweden will gripe about cheap Chinese product, but the workers in China say they want bigger open global market because they're willing to work cheaper and
precisely
things like that.
Yeah.
So you have a two different workers' union, have a, yeah, two different objectives.
But if they were honest about solidarity, they'd realize that this is the only type of solidarity that, yeah, that can exist in a modern world, because globalization is not going to stop.
Right. Now, there's this writer right now. I think his name is J.D. Vance. I apologize if I'm not saying his name right. But his book is right now like a New York Times bestseller, number one, or maybe in top two or three. At least I ordered the book. I didn't get it because I left for Europe. But it's called Hillbilly.
Yeah, I know it.
Oh, Hellbilly, Elegy.
I know what you're where you're going, and he's written about these hillbillies in the Rust Belts and the Midwest.
He's from Ohio, come from a poor neighborhood, and one time his mother was so crazy that while she was driving him on the freeway, I'm going to slam the car into a building, kill both of us.
Yeah.
That's the background he came, but he got an Army scholarship. He went to Ohio State. He went to law school, a Duke, something really prestigious. Now he's like a top executive in Silicon Valley, doing fabulous rich before selling this bestseller. But he was saying his exception to the rule, because from most of the people in his neighborhood, those people never get out of that system. Those are people with a life of high unemployment,
xenophobic, misogyny,
they have addiction, addiction to heroin and pain, opiates, alcoholism, and the violence. So he really was lucky that he found a teacher that looked after him. He was naturally gifted and smart, got multiple scholarships, serving military, and he's a well-rounded person. But what happened to the rest of the other group, you know?
What to do with the plebs?
Yeah.
Yeah, a question for every society. Most societies have solved it, and you Americans have solved it that way many times. You send them out to a war.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
And you know me, I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky. I mean, all the teasing that you and Adil gives me, I've been very, very lucky that I've got to travel different parts of the world, and you guys are very generous. I'm more cautiously optimistic, because if I decide not to do comedy and get a regular job, I can, because I have enough network of people. I can make adjustment, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
I've been very lucky. Like, I get to meet you guys. I go to another country. And I think,
you promised this podcast was going to be my big break in America.
Last
time I did it.
It's going to be a big break in this room.
Yes, yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I'm really hoping that this will land me some sort of blockbuster franchise.
You might get maybe free teriyaki chicken in the States. That's about it, you know.
Free. We asked him to get it today because of Aaron. We went into a store to get some ice cream, and he quoted a joke from Aaron, and we got three ice creams for free. I've never felt so degraded.
The guy just took a look at me, and he was like, you're well endowed and have natural rhythm.
He has a joke about that.
Because that was one of my first jokes, so he gave us free ice cream. He gave me free sorbet, because I prefer sorbet to ice cream.
Personally, I don't have a kid. I'm not married. I'm so happy with the limited amount of resource. I'm able.
Everybody's happy with that.
Yeah. I'm still able to travel the world. And when I meet different kinds of people and I have a good time, intimate conversation with them, I am very optimistic. I'm just scared for people who fear the future and fear overseas.
But
and
if
fear.
You had known what life your mother was going to give, conceive you into, wouldn't you, as a small, fetus, have just taken the navel cord, wrapped it around your neck, and throw yourself out of her vagina?
There's a lot of Yoshi love fest tonight. Jesus Christ. I guess I'll come back swinging in 2021.
This is how we show love.
Yes, I know. But so personally, I am optimistic because, you know...
How can you be optimistic? Have you met people?
I'm optimistic for myself personally, but...
How can you even be optimistic for yourself? Your jeans are torn
at
your knees, as if though you've been standing on your knees with an open mouth for too long.
Right.
And
providing pleasure
for
the world.
You support yourself by medical tests, which I salute,
yes.
Because you're doing it for the human race, and I love it.
No, I'm sorry. I'm just doing it for money.
Yeah.
I have no concern about finding cure for cancer.
I see you as the most genuine hero in this room. Because of your medical tests, we might get medicine that saves people lives.
Yeah.
And if not, it might just kill you, which is also a plus.
Yes.
Anyway.
We don't need more people on the earth. Stop doing fucking medical testing. Let
just
perish.
Look, when bad things happen to me, I could make joke about it. That's good for everyone. If something good happened to me, this is a good thing for me. So I have no fear about that. But...
We'll finish in a few minutes. I will say that I am very, very sad that some of the friends and acquaintances I've lost over the years, and especially suicide, because I think they just give up. My attitude is, you just never know, because one minute you think there's some intractable problem, we have a way to figure out solution to it, you know? I mean, as horrible as some people...
And sometimes that solution is suicide.
Yes. But thanks.
I'm
talking to a Swedish Camus over here.
Yeah, but you're always trying to like end the podcast on a positive note.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think that's
I'm
American
trying
thing.
To destroy that.
It's an American thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, and I don't want you to do that because you're in Sweden.
Yeah.
You're in Sweden, and we don't end our movies on a positive note.
No,
someone dies.
Yes.
That's it. You understand?
Yes.
So you're talking to.
A Jew.
A Swedish comic that is typical Sweden in the sense that he wants to commit suicide, hate everybody. And on top of that, he's Jewish. And on top of that, he got like 6-7 symptoms in his fucking brain. So, you know, so don't listen to everything he said. Don't cry. Don't die yet.
Well, I want to thank both of you for doing it. It's always fun. I'm glad I come back and saw you guys. So before you make a prediction, tell people where they can follow you, you know.
Oh, they can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and LinkedIn. I hang out a lot on LinkedIn. Do you like LinkedIn?
I don't use it, but
because that's, I think, where it's going to happen next. You know, LinkedIn, that's where all the
cool
people...
I think Google just bought it.
Well, no, not Google. Who cares about Google and Facebook and Snapchat and shit? Just hook me up on LinkedIn. It's where the cool people hang.
It's A-R-O-N, Aaron.
Yes.
Flum.
F-L-A-M.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's always fun to see Ahmed and Adil and Aaron, and it's fun to come to Sweden. I would have thought maybe I'll get along more better in Denmark, but I don't know. It's just.
But we like you here. At least me and Adi like you. We like you.
We fit well.
Yeah, we tolerate you.
This motherfucker. Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. So prediction. I mean, election 2016. What do you think?
Well, the American election,
yeah.
I think Hillary will win because the political options have been quite clear on that even before Trump came into the race. And the only time they've been wrong was Brexit, so we'll see. But I think Hillary will win and it will be probably a bit better for the world.
I think she should win, but like there's always something unpredictable happen last minute. Like this thing, she fainting, I don't know what's the long-term... impact on my dad, but I hope she wins because not that I'm a fan of Clinton, because I'm not, but I just think the most important thing president should do is foreign policy, and I do not trust that guy at all.
Nope.
He think doing international pageant is a foreign policy training. It's not. So at least she's very competent at that, and I think she will. But I will say this much: win or lose, Trumpism is here to stay. It's not going away because this election. Even if he loses, that shit is not going away. And I think next Republican convention, I think there's going to be different because they just learned from the populist demand change, and they have to change, you know. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same shit over and over and expecting different result. And I think it's going to be different. But I think
I think America, if you let me just quickly... I think the Republican Party is going to implode. I think the Democratic Party is going to move to the right. I think I think what Sanders started is going to be a new left-wing environmental party in the United States.
Well, things that he present is very attractive to young people, but most young people haven't worked. Once they go to workplace, I think if you give enough time, people change. What's the definition of... a conservative, the definition of conservative. Conservative is a liberal who's been robbed. That's the definition that, I don't know, church or somebody used to say. But hard life and difficulties will change even the most open-minded people, you know?
You always say that in your teenage, you're always red and left. And then when you turn 20, you get a bit more central liberal. Then you, by your 50s, you're conservative.
Yeah.
But that's basically, I mean...
for a lot of policies the right wing do is better if you're older and have family and stuff like that, and the left wing policy is usually good for young people who wants to move and travel or experience different things. So it's not that far-fetched from the truth why they say that. So.
I agree with you, because once you get old, you're thinking about retirement and security.
Yeah.
Security. And if, you know, like one mistake, multiple mistakes we made in Afghanistan, Iraq, is that they don't give up our freedoms and shit like that. First thing they ask for is security, because if you don't provide security, freedom and McDonald's, none of that shit means anything, including, well, you read Thomas Hobbes. You know that social contract, security, and people are willing to give up. I mean, I don't like it, but the reality is people are willing to give up a certain amount of personal liberty for safety.
Absolutely.
So you need to balance those two things out. But yeah,
behind the thin veil of civilization, the life of man is short, brutish, and poor.
Yes, Thomas Hobbes. And I think the next president have to kind of balance between Rene Descartes, Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Hobbes, and Machiavelli.
And Jenna McCarty.
And you have to juggle all four of those things to be a pragmatic politician. But anyway, thanks for doing it. It's always fun talking to you guys. This was a really hectic, because I didn't know I was going to be hanging out with Ari Shaffir, and it's always fun to see you guys here. So I hope you guys come back to the States. I mean, believe it or not, I think emails people asking, like, hey, when is Aaron and Adil coming back to the States? I have no idea, but I hope you guys come back.
As soon as possible, and you will put us up.
I don't know about that, but because I'm living with this. I'm just housing these guys. But I'll ask if you guys could stay with Russell's place. That at least I could do, you know. And
I like that.
So, good luck. And if they do make the third Girl with the Dragon Tattoo movie, I hope you get the third dead white girl.
I really do too.
That will be a record trifecta right there. He ended up dating first two movies, dead white victim from both.
Someone has to inform the new actress that I am, you know, alive.
And before I finish, how big is that Alicia? How do you say, what's her last name?
I don't know.
Huh?
Alicia, Vikander, I think.
Yeah.
In Sweden, or?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows she's Swedish now, but she's never been big in Sweden because she obviously haven't lived here that much. I mean, her parents.
But we're proud.
Yeah, fine. I mean,
we're as proud of her as we are of Joel Kinnaman.
Yeah, everybody knows she's Swedish now, so everybody said, oh, she's Swedish now. But, but 10 years ago, who the fuck knew who that was? Yeah. Or even when she did her first movie, a lot of people were like, she's got a Swedish name. Who the fuck is this? And then I looked at IMDb. I was like,
wait,
she's
not a Swedish name.
Yes,
no, it is. No, it is. But everyone reacted. They were like, why does this American actress have a Swedish name?
Yeah.
I see.
So it was kind of like that. We didn't, because she's not brought up in Sweden.
I think she is.
She's both she's. I think
is she?
I think she's lived abroad quite a lot. Well, we can look that up. But
I could have sworn I read that she grew up in some small town in Sweden, and she started as dancing, but something where ballerina shit didn't quite work, so she went acting. That's if I remember right. But anyway, all right, boys. Thanks for joining again. This is like the third to last one, and I have one up, two episodes, and I'm done mid to late October.
Gothenburg.
Yeah.
I mixed up. It was the other Swedish girl, that's blonde, that are in these superhero movies as well. There's another Swede girl, and I think she's brought up abroad. I don't remember her name, but Alicia Vikander is from Gothenburg. Sorry.
Yeah, she's very popular in the States right now. So, Aaron, thank you. I will see you in the States, and this is the last time you're doing it. So, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
All right.